Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you in here tonight with us. This is part three of Seducing Spirits and Doctrines of Devil. We're going to go into the third part tonight of the weapons of our warfare. We're going to tell you how we think that you need to arm yourself against the war, whether you realize it or not. There is a war declared upon you. If you are a child of Yahweh and you love Him and you keep His commandments, then there is a warfare. And often people don't realize that Satan is making war or waging war. But if you're a commandment keeper of Yahweh and you believe His truth, you're going to find that you are enemy number one. Satan is going to battle you in his threefold plan. We talked about it in part two, John 10:10. Write it down. The thief, Satan, cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, if that's a threefold plan, then the first thing he's going to do is steal your victory, steal your identity, steal your Shekinah, uncover you, make you feel condemned, lonely, depressed, oppressed. You see, Satan is an oppressor. He cannot. Now, let me get this to you real quick up front and down the line with our message tonight. Satan cannot possess a child of the King. You know why? Because you're sealed until the day of redemption. Something that has had a seal placed on it cannot be opened. And Satan has no power to open the package of eternal life for the sheep. That is one thing that he cannot do. But he can steal away your victory, steal away your testimony. You are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, that I am. And in John 4, he says, this is 39, verse 39, 439, 539. Unless you believe that I am. Now, that's a causative verb to be. And so then, if you are in the I am presence of commandment keeping, love, patience, endurance, and faith without which no man shall see Yahweh, then you are in the threefold plan of Satan to steal you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Now, let's talk about in 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. They see no wrong. See, Satan seals the outward with the ideal that you're doing no wrong. Now, the first step in Satan's plan is to undermine the truth and the reality of the spiritual things that were chosen to direct the inward man. Now, the design and intent of this first step is to lure you away from the faith and the true realities of serving the Creator. Now, once he has you lured away, or you departed from the faith, given heed to these seducing spirits, and that's what we're going to talk about, the power of the seduction of Satan. Now, the Bible said every man's way seems right in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirits. Now, the Spirit searches the true things of the first level, where Satan begins to battle you in his plan to undermine the truth by taking you away from the integrity and truth of the Word of Yahweh. It's written. You see, Yahushua in a flesh body, he warred with Satan using only that which was written. And now, if Satan can undermine that which is written and draw you away with seductive deception, giving you knowledge in place of simplicity, exalting you, or searing your conscience with a hot iron until you have no ideal where the threefold plan of Satan has come in to deceive the very elect. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that the entrapment of Satan to sear your conscience with a hot iron, having you to begin to speak lies, because, see, he fears the truth. Satan is going to avoid truth at all costs, because the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times these that depart from the faith given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Ladies and gentlemen, look across, particularly in the United States of America. Look across the earth. Confusion reigning. Ignorance about the great plan of salvation that the Father's worked out for you and gave you exclusively design and intent of his steps into the kingdom. And we've taught the first, second, and third steps into the kingdom of heaven. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, which is what we call the Shekinah in the Hebrew, the breath of eternal life, came down, and then they that begin to listen to these men as they begin to speak with new tongues. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? What shall we do? and the design and intent of the first step into the kingdom, Satan counters with ignorance and confusion about spiritual things, and these are Satan's most powerful weapons to undermine and sear the conscience that you could turn away without even knowing that you've erred from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Ignorance and confusion about spiritual things are Satan's most powerful weapon. It's more powerful than an atom or a nuclear bomb. It is more powerful than the truth that sets you free. You see, something that freed you, something more powerful, has to take you away and sear your conscience and let you depart from the faith. The first thing is ignorance. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because you reject knowledge. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not because of your ignorance of the word. It's the ignorance of refusal to continue in the truth. Some started out on good ground, some started out on stony ground, and some, for the cares of this life, got choked for the cares of this world, having loved this present world, or wanting to be like the world, being a big crowd, or being step with the things that seem right, other than the things that are right, that you might suffer against Satan's seductive deceptions in the powerful weapon that you have, which is truth. Now, the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. I feel the movement of the Spirit right now as we're going to talk about the progressive levels or steps designed with the intent to further entrap us and take us away from the truth. Therefore, spiritual ignorance opens the door for Satan's attack upon the very elect. You see, he's not going to war against those he has. What use would he have of making war with those that he has? The Bible says he come to make war with those that feared Yahweh and kept his commandments. The first commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one." Oh my, that separates him from all others who pretend to be equal or better than the Creator. Now, the best liar, I want you to listen to me quite well. The best liar in the world is Satan. The Bible descriptively says that he is a liar and the truth is not in him. Now, what he can do in his plan to seduce you with these doctrines that appeal to our rebellious human nature. You see, we want our flesh to be consoled. We want our flesh to be, well, accepted. Therefore, Satan chose the things that seem right to make it toward the grain rather than the truth that is right against the grain. So the flesh man is never at ease when it's dealing with the salvation of fear and trembling. So then the second approach or the second step in Satan's plan is to bring in another gospel or another doctrine or to deny the gospel. Now, we've got people today that are denying the written word. Ladies and gentlemen, when we give heed to that seducing spirit that takes us away from the search of the scriptures as the Bereans were in the Gospel of Acts. And the word gospel is not the proper word, but for your level of understanding, I use that word in conjunction with the truth, which is the written word. These things were written as man, the prophets, and the teachers were moved upon by the Holy Spirit as they wrote something down for a testimony or for something to you to compare against, because Satan's plan is to drag you away, is to steal you away. Now, if he can steal you away from the faith of the word, if he can use deceptive suggestion like he did with Eve in the garden, then he's going to use his appeal to the things that seem right, because he's a good liar and a spiritually ignorant person becomes a good listener, and an idle mind, one that is turning away from the written word, is a fertile ground for Satan to sow division, seductive deception, and self-independence. Now, do you know the Bible says that they despise government? That men and women get to the point that they don't want to follow the old preacher man. Oh, no. They find fault with him. He's so full of faults. You see, a pastor has as many faults as the lay member. But if we start focusing on each other's faults and begin to eat and devour one another, we will, as the scripture says, this is Satan's plan, to introduce these seducing doctrines. Oh, I'm better than he is, so I should be the pastor. Or I'm better than she is, I should be the prophetess, or whatever the case may be. His appeal, now this is Satan, touch the things that human flesh begs for. Self-independence. We don't need a preacher to be over us. They never say anything good. They're always hammering on our flesh. Of course, we need pleasure. Every once in a while, there's no wrong in staying away from the assembly. We don't have to go to the festival. It's too far. It's much too expensive. I've got to have the latest in technology, television, cable. I've got to have a new car. And I had to take a second job to pay for it. Therefore, I'm in direct opposition to putting aside that which is chosen by the word of Yahweh, to preach the gospel and to follow after that which is right. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you tonight that Satan is a light that will deceive the very elect, if possible. Now, our mission and our objective is to avoid the very appearance of evil. Ignorance of Yahweh's laws. Confusion about the spiritual things. Oh, I don't believe what Pastor Buddy said about that particular item. I think that I can figure this out on my own. You see, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, Yahweh has chose the fivefold gifted ministry to save some. The Bible said, how can you hear without a preacher? Now, the preacher don't know it all. And when you think you do know it all, you're ready for a fall. Because the next step that Satan uses after he is drawing us away or stealing us away, as James said in 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. That's transgression of the law, by the way. And when it is finished, it brings forth death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the final step in the three-part submission to Satan is to bring us under total submission and control of his spirit, which seems right. And with a seared conscience and our hearts so hardened that no matter how corrective the truth from a prophet may be, they view nothing as sinful or as wrong. They have complete liberty to break the laws and the commandments, to avoid or to denounce that which is written, that they may take upon themselves that which is not written, which is in total opposition. You ever notice that they that fall away from the word, they that lose confidence in the written word of God, that they never, ever come to reconcile themselves back to the word which is condemning that which they do? That's why that the Bible says, having the conscience seared, that they depart thinking that they're doing God a service, even when they kill you or murder you with their tongue, the tongue of a serpent, where they can take advantage with Satan's deceptions, feeling no guilt because of the seared conscience. They boastfully brag in their self-gratification and self-justification, now replaces all the righteous guilt that they would have ever felt had it not been for the searing of the conscience. They become arrogant. That replaces fear of punishment. Oh, we're not worried about it. We're in God's eternal law. We're kin to Mother Nature. We need a goddess in our midst. Simple logic of the scriptures. Deceived into believing that they are actually in control of their own life, having no interest in turning from their wicked ways, as they deliberately. And you know something that makes me actually more angry than anything in my spirit is when you preach the gospel that is written and they'd rather believe something that is not. Satan's threefold plan to kill you, steal you, and destroy. And I remember I said he cannot possess you. He cannot break the seal if so be. But did you know that Paul, the apostle, and Peter, and the rest of the apostles, in the Acts of the Apostles, that they readily, after giving up on some that had turned from the faith, didn't need to submit. But did you know the Bible said that they turned them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the soul could be saved? As by fire, because every man's works will be within the functioning of the truth versus the error of the wicked, as they turn from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, as they go haphazardly with their seared conscience, being deceived and deceiving, believing that they are actually, as I said, in control of their own destiny. Now, Romans 8:29, all things work together to the good of them that fear Yahweh and are called according to his purposes. Now listen to me well. If you have the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah, if you have the indwelling of that spirit and it's been sealed, there is not enough demons in hell, on the earth, or under the earth, to destroy that soul which has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, you can do this by to the Spirit of grace. You can deny him, but he cannot and will not deny himself. You see what I'm talking about here tonight? The power of the resurrected blood of our Savior being stronger than the lies, the deceptions, and the falsehood that Satan brings to sear the conscience of the physical man, as the carnal mind is not subject to Yahweh's laws, or indeed can be. So let's talk about the oppressed, how a demon can not possess somebody sealed, but can oppress those that are warring for the true sake. First symptom of oppression is a spirit gets weak. It becomes alienated from the truth. It no longer accepts truth as face value. It begins to question truth. And it begins to seek an easier way for relief. You know, it's just like a toothache or an earache. Two things that I can't stand in my physical man is a toothache or an earache. I have to have some relief. I have known men that suffered such severe pain that they actually took a pair of pliers and extracted their own tooth. And so when Satan alienates you, and begins to torment you, that is one of the first symptoms of demonic oppression, is alienation from the written word. Second symptom is an unacceptable behavior pattern. You begin to justify that which you do, which is not righteous. A demon-oppressed person engages in behavior that is regarded as offensive. Okay, you know, they don't care to offend you. They justify their offense by their actions. Now, the Bible says, if I eat meat and meat offends my brother, won't eat it anymore. You take a weak person, in this sense, we're talking about the weaknesses made perfect in strength. And strength becomes weakness to those that think they're strong. That's an unacceptable behavior pattern when they eat with offense. I've seen men sit down in front of young converts that are keeping the days of unleavened bread. And just to spite that which is written, that you will honor 7 days of eating unleavened bread, with offense and a seared conscience and feeling an alienation from the written word, justified by a seared conscience. They sit and eat the bread of Lebanon so that they can offend their brothers who has a mind to accept the word and obey it. What's wrong with it? A week of unleavened bread in the days of Passover. Oh, we don't do that anymore. That's for the Jews. That's for those to whom the Bible, which is wrong, by the way, they say. They begin to question the integrity and truth of the scriptures, turning from the written word to disobey that which is written to obey that which is not written. Well, let me ask you a question. Is that an acceptable behavior pattern? Behaving in behavior that is regarded as offensive, immoral, illegal, dangerous, threatening, and or at times vicious. Oh, yes. Alienation, unacceptable behavior patterns, an irrational attitude, a person that cannot be reasoned with, having an illogical, inconsistent, and brute-like thought process in their mind that has been seared, no scriptures will correct them. No scriptures will warn them as they have an irrational attitude that they are right without the Bible, as they go forth seeking their own path or to save themselves with their own selves without the need of a Savior that died and rose again and told us what we could look for in the symptoms of demonic oppression. Now, let me give you the fourth symptom here. We've uncovered an unacceptable behavior pattern, irrational attitude. And let me give you the fourth one here. It's amazing what the fourth one covers. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. If you lose hope, you are of all men most miserable. And Satan will take away your hope in a living Savior, resurrected Savior, and will actually convince you that he never existed, and beyond that, he never died. I know doctors that has been in the faith with me and worship with me. I know two doctors that you would think that would have a rational attitude, an acceptable behavior pattern, and would not be alienated from the common faith. So you see, education and knowledge doesn't get it. Sometimes the more education you have, or the bigger you are in stature of mind, the harder you fall. And once that happens, it brings a hopelessness that the Word cannot cure. Past help. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron, departing from the faith, walking in the area of Satan's ground, most holy and sacred for him, as he kills you, steals you, and destroys you in hopelessness. Now let's talk about the fifth symptoms here. As a private attitude that goes with alienation, a private attitude, not a corporate expressive family. You see, the Bible says the whole family in heaven and earth is in one name. That's the great, magnanimous, magnificent, glorious, most mighty, powerful name of Yahweh. It's the name above every name. I fear it. I reverence it. I reverence it so much that I couldn't wait to be baptized in water in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. First step into the kingdom principles. But the fifth symptom of oppression of Satan is a private attitude. A private attitude. In other words, it's my business. If I want to turn from the Bible and go seeking, you don't have to get the Bible out and lash me and beat me over the head with the scriptures to make me a believer. I know enough now to know that what got me to what I know is wrong. Now, wait a minute, let me see this. A private attitude. I know enough by studying the scriptures to find out they're wrong. So I dropped the scriptures and now am in pursuit with a private attitude, with an irrational attitude, with an unacceptable attitude, with alienation from the common faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils of the latter days. Let me give you the sixth and final symptom as we talk about seducing spirits. Part three. They find a new relief in religion. Interestingly, they that have been lured away, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, they have deep religious convictions without religion. They become confused as they seek the path of alienation and human secular truths. Oh, we're all gods, buddy. He said, yeah, you're gods. John, St. John said, yeah, I said you're gods, but you're going to die like me. He that transgresses the law shall die without mercy. They that despise Moses' law, and we got people today that despises Moses' law. What was wrong with the law? Carnal interpretation, religious convictions, pharisaical attitudes, religious beliefs, private attitudes, hopelessness, irrational attitude, unacceptable behavior, and alienation. All these things are symptoms of a demon working mightily in your midst to turn you from the faith. To give heed to seducing spirits with a seared conscience. Yeah, the Pharisees, they worshipped. Cain worshipped. But, ladies and gentlemen, Cain had no place in the kingdom of truth because he was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, and abode not in the truth, and none of his seed will ever inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, those who have the kingdom principle rights, Satan come to steal those from you. I want you to remember that. Satan come to kill, to steal, and to destroy the very presence of your life as he came forth to make war with the saints and them that feared Yahweh and kept his commandments. Well, I got news for you. Satan, if you are a warrior, hate your guts. I've had people to criticize me more lately for preaching the gospel than I have forever denied it. Makes me know that I'm doing something right. Because when you get over the target, it's when you're going to receive the flak. And the anti-aircraft flak of Satan is to bring you down to his level. That was his whole purpose. Misery loves company. The fallen man. To wallow in the mire of carnality. The carnal mind. The educated mind. You see, the more educated you become, it seems, the more foolisher the gospel seems to you. Because Yahweh himself chose the foolishness of preaching to save some. Now, the Bible said we're not ignorant of the weapons of Satan. Remember, the Bible says to arm yourself first with a helmet. And the most deadly place for Satan to place a wound is in your head, in your thinking. If he can get you doubting the integrity and truth of the word of Yahweh, he's accomplished without even doing anything else to the common body. He don't have to get to your heart. If he's in your head, he don't have to worry about your heart. The heart's already gone because the head directs the body. And if he can get your tongue, your testimony, if he can get into your head and steal your mind of Christ, if he can destroy that thinking, if he can violate the integrity of the word and get you to doubt it, or to get you to accept something that you're not, the Bible says you're a sinner saved by an appearance of a Savior. And you say, oh, that's hockey puck. I don't believe that. Did you know that right among our own kind, in the name of Yahweh, those who had repented and heard the gospel and pledged allegiance to the great name of the King of all kings, the mighty one, Yahweh, that they have turned from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, as they have went up against Satan. And then weighed in the balances and found wanting. Ladies and gentlemen, the most awesome privilege is the testimony of the tongue. Once the tongue is silenced, or once the tongue is tamed by an evil spirit, once the tongue has given over, as it becomes, Satan becomes so involved in your life that he steals your testimony. Once he steals that testimony of the affirmation of faith, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. It is the plan of Satan as he takes his steps and brings you down to your knees, to bow to him, to pay allegiance to him, to begin to say, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no Yahweh. There's many gods, but there's only one Creator who brought you in to see if you could withstand the weapons of Satan's warfare. And as Paul said, we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan, evil spirits, they work in tandem recourse. If the first one don't get you, the second one will. If the third one that is sent to you don't have enough help, he'll come back with seven more spirits, more wicked than the one that begin to talk to you, to draw you away when you're enticed and drawn away. James said you're enticed of your own lust. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, as we read, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, I wish it was that way. Then we could take up the weapons of warfare and actually see blood flowing in the streets as in the past. But now our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, in pulling down the stronghold that is in our mind, the things that wage war with our mind. You see, Satan, once he gets into the mind, the head, and plays the head game with you, he's ahead because he's a wise old bird that wants to peck out your brains at the end when he will laugh at your calamity and mock when you fear come. We wrestle against principalities, against powers. Now listen to me well. Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Rulers of the darkness of this world. Satan can come to you. No fear. They don't care how strong you are. The stronger you are, the more that they will hammer at your armor. Against the rulers of darkness, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Job, a just man, riding in the high dimensions of spirit, Satan come to attack him in every way possible. And the integrity and the truth and the ability to suffer, the ability to wage war with the weapons that were not carnal, but looking for the spiritual power. The still small voice, not the wind, the violence, and the things that present itself in the natural realm. And we often look at a man's blessings if he's got money in the bank, if he's got an IRA, if he's got a sizable sum laid up. We say, oh, how that man is blessed by the king. But the Bible says the city was saved by a poor man's wisdom. But the Bible said his words were despised, and his words were not heard. You see, we want to hear it from somebody that wears a three-piece suit that costs $1,000. We want to build the prosperity. The God of prosperity is reigning. We don't want to go with the poor. I like people that don't care to get their hands dirty, that are working the earth. The simple things. They choose the simple things. They shun away from the things. Not many rich, not many powerful or elite are called into the kingdom principles of faith. You got to know how to defeat the devil. The best way that Yahweh can give you the advantage is keep you poor and needy. Keep you calling out. To keep you relying upon him rather than the things that you have to trust in. A demon-oppressed man unable to talk, blind, was brought to the Messiah, Yahushua. And Yahushua healed him so that he could both speak and see, and the crowd was amazed. They began to proclaim. But when the Pharisees heard about the miracle, they said, he can cast out demons because he is Satan, king of the devils, Beelzebub. But Yahushua, knowing their false, replied to them, a divided kingdom ends in ruin. The city or home divided against itself cannot stand. And if Satan is casting out Satan, he's fighting against himself and destroying his own kingdom. And if, as you claim, I am casting out demons by invoking the powers of Satan, then what power do your own people use when they cast them out? Let them answer your accusations. For if I am casting out demons or devils by the Spirit of Yah, then the kingdom of Yah has arrived among you. One cannot rob Satan's kingdom without first binding Satan, and only then can his demons be cast out. Ladies and gentlemen, everything that gets into the mind, the carnal mind, that's as deep as Satan can go, because he has no power over the spirit. The spirit mind is the things that Yahweh has chose, the inner sanctum, where he seals you till the day of redemption, else Satan can take you at his own will captive. So then, stand forth. Stand on the rock. Believe in his written word. Listen to this. I close in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Yahushua, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all for lifetime subject to bondage, as he came into the lower regions of hell and demanded the keys of hell and death, rose victorious, triumphing over them, that is, the devil, and his power to kill you, steal you, and destroy you. Satan's game undermined the truth. Number two, introduce an acceptable doctrine that seems right with knowledge. And number three, bring you into total submission with a seared conscience that you no longer have an ability to be word checked with those things that are written to guard your soul. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the time is at hand. The day is short. As we minister here in the last days, Satan has come to give you a semi way. Are you willing to accept it and to go in the way of Satan? Are you willing to take the things that he has given you as truths, changing the truth of Yah into a lie, and believe the creature doctrines rather than the creator doctrine? The creature doctrines are sympathetic to flesh. the creature doctrines are sympathetic to the carnal mind. But the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against power and spiritual wickedness, principalities of powers in high places. Satan sitting in the heavens, ruling the carnal mind, that's in your physical body, where he's trying to forbid you to take the antidote of salvation, which is to cast out the carnal mind, for the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of the spiritual creator. They only function within the realm of a satanic mind of the carnal. And Satan dwells in the carnal, and he has to be cast out where the spirit mind rules and reigns supreme, having victory over the flesh man. You see, the flesh man will talk to you, oh, I don't need to go to the festivals. I don't have to keep the Passover anymore. I don't have to keep Pentecost. I don't have to keep the Day of Atonement. I don't have to keep Tabernacles. Those are for those idiots back there in the Bible who didn't know any better. I'm under a new plan today. I'm free. And those that promise you liberty are themselves the servants of corruption. As they feast with you, and as they sport themselves in complete opposites of truth. Now the Bible says a man of Yahweh is thoroughly furnished unto all good works, having the scriptures to base his foundational beliefs on. And when Satan comes and tears down the belief system of your faith in the written word, you may say you have faith, but if you can't prove it in a written context, if you can't find yourself written within the pages of a holy Bible, you'll certainly never find yourself outside where there's nothing written to sustain you other than the mind that exalts itself against the simplicity of a dying, suffering, now risen Messiah. A Savior. And as the Bereans searched daily for the evidence that was written, you see, ladies and gentlemen, they searched the, what we would call, the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there is written prophecies that proclaim a Savior to come. Now we've got those that say, where is the promise of His coming? It's not written and recorded in Scriptures. And then when you quote specific prophetic scriptures, they change it into a lie to deny it. You see, they don't believe anything in the Bible, but they use the Bible to disprove what you believe. And that goes to show you that they that take the Bible to deny the written word, by quoting the written word to make it more easier for their conscience to go in the way that they go. No wonder the Bible said, woe unto them, for they go in the way of Cain and perish in the gainsaying of Kor. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call on the mighty Jewel of the South, WWCR 5070. I'm glad to be with you tonight. And may the Heavenly Father reach out to those who trust in the name of the King of all kings, the risen Savior, that sits in the heavens, that is waiting for the appointed time to return, wherein the heavens being on fire shall melt with fervent heat. And as it says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, then when the Son of Man, the risen Savior, calls himself the Son of Man because he came of a woman, Yahweh himself, now dwelling in a flesh body, the one with the wounds in his hands. I quoted that scripture to a congregation, and some of them laughed and made fun, poked jokes at each other, poked herself in the ribs, and said, Listen, he believes that there was a Savior with wounds in his hands. These people were feasting right in the midst, denying the word, trying to justify another way, an unwritten way rather than a written way. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns us when those days come, you know that the time is nigh. Because in the last days they will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. From such withdraw yourself. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproof. You see, you're hated for reproving. It's all right if you sit around and laugh and gaha, go along with their ignorant, foolish, stupid ways. But when you give them a word check, and the word doesn't check them, and they mock and make fun. You see, they have done that to the prophets of the past. They're doing that to the prophets of the present. And they will continue doing that to the prophets of the future that are to come. But for you that know the wiles of the devil, study to show yourself approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. For the time will come that men will not endure the sound doctrine. Dr. Whiteley tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's up 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight on the 12th day of June. We've had a glorious time at Passover, and we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to receive your call tonight. If you'd like to call me, simply call Pastor Buddy at 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. Now, we need your help tonight. Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439 would like to receive a card or letter of support. Now, if you'd like to send it to Pastor Buddy and earmark it for Dr. Gary and the support of the Shepherd's Call, we will be more than happy to receive it. You can call Dr. Gary tomorrow between the business hours of 8 to 5 at 1-877-289-7439, toll free. Don't forget to call us this coming week or write us here at the Shepherd's Call Ministries. All you have to do is address it to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Well, until next Sunday night, this is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call saying, God will bless you. We'll see you on down the line.
Some are fun and some are tight. It's all fun when I'm in this kingdom of God. And the world is in this fallen tree. The virgins are all turning their lips. The world is in the fallen tree. It's hard to be a chick against the priest. July